This morning we continue with our series on Fan into Flame. So if you have your Bibles, won't you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And it's a scripture we started the series with way back in May. And we want to pick up that scripture again this morning. And this morning I want to talk about spiritual gifts because strangely we haven't spoken much about spiritual gifts as we've done this series. We've spoken about lots of other things. We've sort of touched on it obliquely, but this morning I want to go into a little bit more. And also because we have got another group of folk that are joining our church from the Connect course. And this morning we're going to be praying for them, for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And you are welcome to join us after the meeting. So if you would like some prayer, like to be part of that, we'd love you to be part of that as well. So let's look together. I'm going to read just quickly from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then we'll look at 1 Corinthians 14. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul's writing to Timothy, and Paul says to Timothy, he says, "For this reason, verse 6, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." That was our sort of key scripture we've been looking at. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, just go to the left, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, "Pursue love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." So he's talking about spiritual gifts. And we were saying right from the beginning when we started this series that Paul's writing to Timothy, who's a young man in the ministry. We don't know how old he really was. Some people think he was very young, about 20. Others say maybe he was about 40. It's good to know you're still a young man when you're 40. And Paul's encouraging him to stir up the gifts that have been placed in his life, because the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is the greatest benefit we have when we feel frail and weak. Can you say amen? And he's saying to Timothy, who really was quite a weak guy, he's saying, "Timothy, the answer for you in the ministry, the answer for you with the assignment that God has given you, is to stir up the gifts that are in you. To look to God for empowering and for His presence in your life as well." And we began to look at that together. And we said it's an answer to Timothy. And friends, it's also an answer for us. It's an answer for us today. If you're feeling weak, if you're feeling sometimes frail, if you're feeling under pressure, the answer to that is for the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Amen? It's for God to come and empower us. And Jesus Himself is the one who has released the Spirit. When Jesus died upon the cross and rose again, the Bible says He released the Holy Spirit upon His church on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit has been poured out. It says in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, he's talking about the outpoured Holy Spirit upon the church, and in verse 32 he says, "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." Amen. And so Jesus has poured out the Holy Spirit upon His church, and He wants every one of us to be full of the Holy Spirit as we live our Christian lives. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for Spirit-filled individuals and a Spirit-filled church. And we need to keep coming back to this. I need to come back to this. We all need to come back to this because we leak. How many of you leak? Sometimes we know that we sometimes feel more full of God, other times less full of God. And we need to keep coming back to God and saying, "Lord, won't you fill us again and again with your Holy Spirit? We are receptacles for your Holy Spirit. Come and fill us again and again and again." Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Amen. And so when you get saved as a Christian at conversion, you have the Spirit in you, but what we need is more and more the Spirit coming upon us in the baptism in the Spirit, in the infilling of the Spirit as well. And when God comes upon us and when we get baptized in the Spirit, God gives us spiritual gifts as well. So all of us have natural gifts, but we also have spiritual gifts that come from God, where God has put things into our lives. And it says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, each one has received a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So I want to preach into that this morning. I want to help you this morning because it has ongoing relevance for Timothy and it has ongoing relevance for us today as well, to be a people full of the Spirit. And here in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says we need to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. We need to long for the spiritual gifts. We need to hunger for the spiritual gifts. We need to pursue the things of God, the spiritual things of God. The most precious thing that you can have is a hunger for God. Do you know that? It's the most precious thing you can have, where you're hungering for God, where you're thirsting for the things of God. And that's what Paul is writing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He says, I want you to pursue love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire the things of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't be passive about it. Don't be casual about it. Don't say, well, if God wants to do it, He can do it. If He doesn't want to do it, that's also fine. The Bible says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Because you can be a Christian and you can neglect that aspect of your Christian life. You can neglect the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You can neglect the spiritual gifts. In my own life, I got saved at the Invis Church in Durban. It was a charismatic church in the late 70s, early 80s. And God was moving in the charismatic era. And many people being filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit operating. And it was wonderful. I got saved into that environment. And what you get born again into, what kind of church you get saved into is very, very important for you because it often shapes the rest of your Christian life. And then later on, I went to a Baptist church. And I also loved the Baptists because the Baptists gave us great theology. But they were not charismatic. It was Weinberg Baptist was not charismatic in the beginning. And as I sat in that church under tremendous preaching, that's where we met Michael Eaton. That's where we discovered Reformed theology. And we preached through Romans and we preached through these great topics of the Bible, but they didn't emphasize spiritual gifts. And so, although I had received a touch from the Lord, although I was baptized in the Spirit, I started to neglect the spiritual gifts in my life. They were not important. What was important was the Word and doctrine and expository preaching and Romans and Ephesians. Those were the things that were important. And so I grew in the Word, but I neglected the things of the Spirit. And then I told you the story before. One day the pastor, Baptist pastor in a Baptist church with Baptist deacons and Baptist pews and a Baptist building, he preached a series on the anointing, on the work of the Holy Spirit. And as he preached through the Old Testament into the New Testament, week by week in this Baptist church, there was a sense of the presence of God in the church. Each week it was growing and growing and growing and growing. You felt like you could reach out and just touch the Lord. He was in the meeting. And we had our, I don't know what, the, we had our hymns up on the wall and we used to sing them. We're in a proper Baptist church. Hallelujah. Some of you don't know about that because you got saved into churches like Grace Gen and NCF and these churches with different names. But there are others amongst us who got saved out of denominationalism and Baptist and Presbyterian and so on. We know what it means. And as he began to preach on these things, Sunday by Sunday, the presence of God came into that Baptist church. And it was a time where God was moving in many of the mainline churches in the late 70s and 80s. And one Sunday we were standing up and worshiping. I think we were singing a hymn. And I still miss those old hymns. And we were singing a hymn. And when the hymn had finished, my friend next to me, Lawrence Thackeray, who was a crazy character, he brought a tongue in the middle of a Baptist church. He spoke in tongues in the middle of the church. But there was a sense that God was speaking to the church. There was such a sense of God's presence. And I was standing next to him. And I felt God literally push the interpretation out of me. Although I hadn't been moving in spiritual gifts for a couple of years. And it was a word to the church about what God was going to do and how God was going to move and the blessing of God. And it was quite awesome, really. And I remember the pastor said, "Can we all please just sit down now? I think God has spoken to us." And that prophetic word and that tongue, that interpretation of that tongue led to a whole new thing where God did, where Jubilee Community Church started, a whole new church started, and a whole movement of churches started out of that spiritual gift that operated in the presence of God in that meeting. And so, I want to encourage you this morning not to neglect the spiritual gifts. Not to neglect the things that God has put in your life, because they're awesome and they're amazing and they're wonderful. And we continually want to be a church that's strong in the Word of God. So we did a 4-month series on Ephesians the beginning of this year. We preached through Ephesians, but then we did a series on fanning into flame. Why? Because we want to be full of the Word and full of the Spirit. If you just have the Word and no Spirit, you may dry up. If you just have the Spirit and no Word, you may blow up. But if you have the Word and the Spirit, you grow up. Amen? And that's what we are looking for. And so Paul writes and he talks about these spiritual gifts. And this morning I want to talk to you about the importance of them and being a Spirit-filled church, not just for what happens in here, but when we move out there as well. God wants us to use our gifts in here and out there. We've all got natural gifts that we were born with. But we also receive spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit kind of anoints and empowers and works in our lives. And they're meant for use in here and out there. They're meant to make an impact for God. They're meant to advance the kingdom of God for Jesus. That's what they are there for. They're not little playthings in a meeting, but they're there to move the kingdom of God forward. They're not just to hold ground, they are to take ground for Jesus. Jesus is risen, Jesus is in heaven, and Jesus has poured out His Spirit that we may reach the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And they are weapons for extending the rule of Christ in the earth. And the Bible says to each one, say each one. Or let me put it another way, say to me. Say me. A manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. Hallelujah. God has put stuff in your life, and God has put stuff in my life. We're not just saved, but He's put stuff into our lives to bless us, to encourage us, and to extend the kingdom of God. So what are spiritual gifts? The Greek word is charisma. They are a special ability. They are a grace, they are an anointing, an ability that God gives every Christian for the purpose of making an impact for the kingdom of God. Peter Wagner says, God does not give us gifts He does not call us to use, nor does He call anyone to do something for Him without equipping that person with the gifts to do it. Amen? And so the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, which are areas we expected to grow in the Christian life, in maturity and holiness and in Christ likeness. And it takes time for fruit to grow. Andre will tell us. Where's Andre? Andre's got the best peaches and fruit trees just about in Maritzburg. He will tell you it takes time for fruit to grow. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit takes time to grow. But the gifts of the Spirit are given. The gifts of the Spirit are not achieved, they're received. They're given to us, and the fruit of the Spirit is developed through yielding to God, through obedience, through the spiritual disciplines, and they help to define what a Christian is, but the gifts of the Spirit help to define what a Christian does. So the fruit is about character issues, and the gifts are about serving God and extending His kingdom. Hallelujah. And so the gifts are different from the fruit. You may be lacking in the fruit sometimes, but still operate in the gifts. So Samson was a guy in the Old Testament who wasn't a very nice character, but he was very gifted. And you can have this operating in a person's life where a person may be quite a difficult person, but very gifted. How many of you have met people like that? You think, but they're so gifted, they should be nice people as well. But there's a difference sometimes between gifts and fruit. And you may operate in your gift for some time. Eventually it'll catch up to you if you neglect God and you live in sin. But there's a difference between fruit and gift. And it's nice if you meet someone who's very gifted and is also nice. That helps a lot too. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 11 that God's gifts and call are irrevocable. They cannot be withdrawn. So God's gifts are given to you. They're given to us. You are sitting right here this morning as a Christian with a number of gifts that God has placed in your life. He's given you gifts. To each one of us, He's given gifts. He doesn't give one to Rob and one to Claire and one to Timothy and one to Roseanne, but He scatters His gifts. Rob may get 3, Claire may get 11. And God wants us to discover what our gifts are. Because He wants us to serve Him with the gifts He's given us. And so turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Let's just read there together, Romans chapter 12. So Paul says, verse 3, "So by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So God has given us gifts. He's also given you a measure of faith to use the gift that He's given you. And we mustn't compare ourselves with one another. I mustn't listen to Avril and the Anchormen on Sunday morning and think, "I wish I could sing like them." Well, I can sing like that. They were singing a couple of weeks ago here. They had their choir. They were singing to us, and they started singing Amazing Grace, and I thought that was for the whole congregation to sing, and the next thing, my wife elbowed me in the ribs because I was singing. She said, "Shh, it's just them, not you." So, don't spoil it. So, you might look at someone else and think, "I wish I had their gift," but that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be humble and use our gift with the measure of faith that God has given us. So it says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function. In your body, your hand doesn't do the same thing as your eye does. It's the same in the body of Christ. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to your faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts or encourages in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so Romans 12 is talking about the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 talks about the gifts. Ephesians 4 talks about the gifts as well. And so friends, the body of Christ operates like a human body. And I discover my function and what I'm meant to do for God by the way God has gifted me. Your purpose is determined by your gift mix. Your gift will make room for you. Some of you, even the jobs you're in, or because of the gifts God has given you. And you don't realize that you go to work every Monday until Friday, but actually, you're actually doing well in your job because you're using the gifts that God has given you in your life. And even unsaved people are using gifts that God has given them by His common grace. He causes His rain to shine on the good, rain to fall on the good and the bad. And people are making impact sometimes because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above. That's what the Bible says. Every perfect gift. Some people are using their gifts for God. Other people are not using their gifts for God. But God wants us to use the gifts we have for God. And when we do the Connect course, we list. There's a number of gifts that are listed in this Connect course, and I want to read them to you this morning. And you will find that there's just a few of these gifts that you can't use in the marketplace. Most of the gifts that we've listed here, you can use out there. Mercy. You can be merciful to your boss. You can be merciful to the people you work for. You can be merciful to your wife and kids. Prophecy, administration, encouragement. Go and look for someone tomorrow morning to just encourage. Counseling, an evangelist, giving. Giving. I told you the story before. My brother and his wife were from Ireland. Last year they came to visit us. We went to Mug and Bean for supper. We had supper. We came to pay the check. And Richard Gray, one of the other pastors in the city, he's sitting on the other side. I didn't even see him. The waiter came. He said, "There's no bill. Someone's paid for your bill." My brother is not a Christian. He was blown away. He said, "What happened? Who paid for our bill?" I said, "Just another guy over there. He's a Christian. He paid for our bill." I said, "We do this kind of thing all the time." He was blown away. And it's been about a year. I haven't been able to get hold of Richard. I can't find his number anywhere. So I saw him last week in the mall. I said, "Richard, I want to tell you how much, what an impact you made on my brother." I said, "Through using a bit of money, you blew him away." He said, "Really?" I said, "Thank you, my brother. That was just so..." He didn't say anything, didn't preach, no Bible verse, paid for his meal. Boom. In this society, that sometimes speaks louder than anything else. Help, service, intercession, hospitality. Hospitality. Do you know that in most first world countries, Sweden, Switzerland, there is no such thing as hospitality? No such thing as hospitality. Albie and Tracy were in Finland for 4 or 5 years. They said nobody invites anyone to their house in that nation. You live in your own little home. Hospitality today is a massive gift. Pastoring, teaching. Healing. Someone's sick. Say, "Can I just pray for you?" When we built this, when we painted this place, you know the story. We did the posters. The guy that designed these posters, his little girl went in for a serious operation. Not a Christian. I said to him, "We are going to be praying for your daughter while she's having this operation." He was blown away. Blown away. He couldn't thank me enough. Leadership. Discerning of spirits. Miraculous powers, faith, tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, celibacy, craftsmanship, hospitality, interpretation of dreams, music, worship leading. So many of these gifts, friends, we can use in the marketplace, not just in the church. And we need to be looking for opportunities to use the gifts, to know what our gifts are, and to use the gifts that God has given us. And so I ask you this morning, do you know your gifts? They vary sometimes in strength, and they vary from the person next to you. They're different kinds of gifts. But do you know your gifts? Do you know the way God has gifted you? Do you know? You need to know. You need to know. And you discover your gifts by doing your gifts. And you also discover your gifts. It's helpful for others to say, "You know, we see this gift in you. We see this in your life." And so there are a number of gifts. I've read a number of them already. There are revelation gifts, the acting gifts, power gifts, the inspirational gifts, speaking, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, teaching, administration, leadership gifts, serving, mercy, helps. We could call out names of people in this room that we know have these gifts. Amen? You know, Colleen's a nursing sister. You can't be a nursing sister for years and years without a gift of mercy, compassion. You can't do that. And so I want to encourage us this morning to press on to know your gifts and to use your gifts. But I want to talk very briefly this morning. That was my introduction. Very briefly this morning about tongues and prophecy. Because these things keep coming up, and we had lots of questions last week in the Connect course as well. And I just want to talk briefly about tongues and prophecy. And just turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to touch on this again, and then we'll close and pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And here Paul is talking to the Corinthians about tongues and prophecy. Tongues are for personal edification. Prophecy is to encourage others. So it's very simple. Tongues are to encourage you. Prophecy is to encourage others. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and he says to us, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Most tongues are not for the congregation. They're your prayer language to God. For no one understands him, for he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks, look at this, here it is. The whole thing summed up in verse 4. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest intellects the world has ever seen, who wrote the book of Romans, which people say is probably the greatest document that's ever been written, the book of Romans. And the same Apostle Paul, great intellect, when at the end of his life, he's standing before King Agrippa and Felix, they say, Paul, your great intellect might be driving you mad. He says, no, you need to be saved. That same Paul says, I want you all to speak in tongues. But even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Hallelujah. I just want to say a few things this morning about tongues and prophecy, because they come up again and again, and they're gifts we don't want to lose, and they're gifts we want to keep using in the body of Christ. Okay, so as I've said already, tongues builds you up. The gift of tongues builds. What is the gift of tongues? It is either an earthly or a heavenly language that God gives you, where you can pray and you can talk to God, and you don't always know what you're talking. What you're saying to God. You're uttering mysteries with your spirit, the Bible says. Amen? You're uttering mysteries with your spirit. And tongues are mainly directed towards God, not towards other believers. And they should be used in the privacy of one's own prayer life and worship. So when you pray at home, when you're praying for your family, when you're praying on your own, particularly if you don't know what to pray, we'll come to that in a minute, need to use the gift of tongues. Ask God to give you the gift of tongues. It's a spirit-inspired utterance in which the Holy Spirit enables a person to speak mysteries, because it's our spirit that's speaking, not our mind, and our mind is bypassed. It's a speech that's unintelligible to both the speakers and the hearers. Hallelujah. Amen. So two most important things to us, our tongues and our minds are, we don't know what we're saying, but we're uttering mysteries to God, particularly when we pray. And so I would encourage you this morning, if you have the gift of tongues, to use it, to not neglect it. It's a supernatural ability to experience God's closeness by worshiping or praying to God in a language you don't understand. And it will offend your mind sometimes. You'll think, what am I doing? What am I saying? But actually, you're communicating with God. You're talking to God. You're praying to God in a way that is reaching God and speaking to God. And tongues with interpretation equals prophecy. And so we need to develop these things. Tongues are actually a sign of weakness, not of strength. Because we don't know, it says in Romans chapter 8, we don't know how we ought to pray, but we pray in groanings that words cannot express. And so sometimes you're praying for your family, you're praying for your wife, you're praying for different things, and you begin to pray, and you're praying in English, or you're praying in Afrikaans, or you're praying in Zulu, you're looking to the Lord, and eventually you come to the end of your vocabulary. How many of you sometimes run out of words when you pray? How many of you think, I'm going to pray for an hour this morning? I'm ready to pray. Craig said yesterday we should be praying more. I'm ready to pray. After 75 seconds. Your tank is empty. Amen. You've prayed for yourself, your dog, your wife, your friends, and it's finished. And you start thinking about lunch, and you start thinking about other things. That's when it's so helpful to begin to just worship the Lord and to begin to speak in tongues and just to pray in tongues. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You're so good to me. Lord, I want to pray for this person. And as you begin to pray, Lord, I don't know what to pray for this person. I can see they're struggling. Lord Jesus, I just commit them to you. Thank you for this person. Lord, I pray you'd bless this person. I don't know what they need right now, but Lord, I want to just give that person. You begin to speak in tongues. You begin to pray in tongues. You begin to touch the heart of God as you pray in this way. Michael Eaton says this in his commentary on Romans. It says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Romans 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit shares a part in helping in our weakness, for we do not know the thing to pray for as is necessary, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And sometimes you're praying and you break into another language, or you just grow. So, oh God, I just lift this person. You begin to pray. You begin to call on God. Michael says, it's not that we're ignorant how to pray, but we're ignorant what to pray. We do not know the specific things to pray for sometimes. We often find ourselves ignorant of God's will. We don't know what to pray. We experience conflicts, failures, controversies, disappointments, but help is given by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We find ourselves sighing, and the Holy Spirit in us does the sighing. He's the bearing the greater load in the praying. We're longing to ask for something, but we're not sure what we should be asking for. We find ourselves simply sighing and saying nothing more than that. So, oh Lord, oh Lord. It's similar to the gift of tongues. There's a style of praying when we are not using our mind. I want to say that again, brethren. There's a style of praying when we are not using our minds. It goes beyond that. Jesus said to us, I will give you a peace that passes all understanding. There's a dimension to the Christian life that goes beyond rational, cognitive, intellectual ability. Where God begins to touch your heart and your spirit, and you enter into dimensions of experiencing with God. You're facing challenges. You're facing the future. You don't know what the future holds. You're looking for a life partner. Maybe you're up against financial difficulty. Maybe someone's sick in your family. And you begin to pray. And you pray in your best Afrikaans. Or you pray in your best Zulu, even high Zulu. Or English. And in your spirit, you realize, I'm not breaking through here. I need something more than this. And you say, oh God. That sometimes is the best prayer. Those two words. Oh God. Oh God. They say in the Welsh revival that the revival only broke out when they started praying those two words. They just came into prayer meetings and they just said, oh God, oh God, began to pray. And we find ourselves sighing, but the Holy Spirit inspires the sighing. There's times when you're before the Lord, we find we have no words. I'm often like that, we have no words. We're longing for something, we're not sure what it is. But it's praying with our spirit. It's talking to the Lord. Sometimes such praying will be corporate. An entire congregation will be audibly sighing to God for God's will to be done. Hallelujah. At other times it's individual, with your wife or your friends. And Paul assumes that every Christian can pray in this way. Amen. And I want to encourage you to not neglect that aspect of prayer, not that aspect of tongues, where God has given it to you for your own personal edification, for your own personal upbuilding. to just use that and to pray out of your spirit. You say, well, I don't speak in tongues. Well, that's okay. You can just come before God. And sometimes when you run out of words, you can just say, oh God, I just lift this person and just begin to pray out of your spirit. Let God give you groanings that words cannot express. And then prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is giving a message to someone else in a language that they can understand. Prophecy is for encouragement, instruction, and exhortation and comfort, and sometimes for direction. And it's important in a local church to have an atmosphere where prophecy is stimulated. It's one of the main aspects of the life of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Hallelujah. How many of you have known someone give you a prophetic word that's really changed your life? Hands up. It's been amazing. But God has come and just spoken. Where we can speak to one another under the power of the Holy Spirit and has an impact for the future. It brings that now word from God. It brings revelation. It just breaks into that person's life. And with it comes interpretation. What does this mean? An application. How do I apply this? I would encourage us as well, when you pray for people, trust God for a word for that person. Trust God for a word for that person. When you pray for someone, pray for them, but then on the inside, be listening to God. And allow God to give you something for that person, to encourage them, to bless them. What do I do? I'm nearly finished. What do I do with a personal prophetic word that another person has given me? Ask yourself four questions. Does it line up with the teaching of the Bible? Does it line up with what God has already shown me in the past? Does it leave me feeling peaceful or disturbed? I think that's good. It might challenge you, but you'll know this is God. Does it glorify Jesus? And if it's directive, check it out with others as well. Speak to the leaders about it. Especially if a young guy comes over and says, God's given me a prophetic word that I'm going to marry you. Speak to someone else about that. Speak to someone else. Check it out with someone else. And then write down the prophetic words and keep it for future encouragement and evaluation. Let me encourage you to go back in the past to words God has given you in the past. And keep them. And pray over them. We've got on the wall here, these are prophetic words that God has given our church. That on Wednesday nights we pray over these words. And think about your own life. What are the things God has said to you personally? Go back and saying, Lord, I'm lifting these words to you, Lord. I'm reminding you of what you've said about my life. And hold on to them. Hold on to them. Our son is unsaved, as you know. God has given us prophetic words about him. We're holding on to those words. We trust in God with those words. Amen. Hallelujah. Ask God to speak to you and hold on to those words as well. Paul, as I close, Paul encouraged Timothy to recall the prophetic words that he had received and to hold on to them and to keep believing. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 18, Paul says to Timothy, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Amen. So he says to Timothy, one of the ways that you can do warfare is by holding on to the prophetic words that you've been given. Keep coming back to them. Keep reading them. Keep believing God for them. Saying, Lord, you said this. I'm holding on to it, Lord. Part of the reason we have this building was because God spoke to us, kind of put it in our hearts that he's going to give us a building. And Avril, I want to honor Avril this morning. Avril constantly held that before us. God's going to give us a building. God's going to give us a building. It was like a prophetic thing that God gave us. And he was the one that came and said to us, I think you should speak to the Dutch Reform guys in this place. And God will sometimes give you a word. He will give you a desire. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Don't think, well, it hasn't happened yet. I'm not married yet and I'm in my mid-30s. Hold on to what God has spoken to you about. Hold on to things God has said to you. Believe God. It's by faith and patience we inherit the promises. I was away with some guys in Durban, some pastors in Durban on Friday. And some of them, the one guy's from Westville, Kloof area, they meeting in school halls. They feel a bit despondent about it. I said, listen, pal, for 21 years we met in prisons and school halls. God can give you a building. And he said, tell me more. I said, this is what God has done for us. And it was so encouraging. Hold on to the prophetic words that God has spoken to you. Hold on to them. Fan them into flame. Keep believing. Gather your family together. Say to them, this is what God has told us. This is what God has said to us. And if you have an absence of prophetic words, ask God to speak to you. Say, Lord, over the next few weeks, speak to me prophetically. Help me to write it down. Speak to me about my future, Lord. And so as I come to a close, I'm saying to us this morning, the exercising of spiritual gifts is a major way we love people. It's a major way we love people. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 is between 12 and 14. We need to do the gifts in love. But a major way you love people, I'm loving you this morning through my preaching. The most important way I've loved this congregation is through the effort I've put into preaching the Word of God. I'm loving you through my gift. We love others through the gifts He's given us. Secondly, don't neglect or rubbish the gift of tongues. Don't do that. Don't say, oh no, that's from the devil and you know, we don't want that. We don't want that. The Bible says the gift of tongues are there to build you up. To build you up. You're saying, no, I don't want anything that builds me up. I'm okay, thanks. I don't want that. God says to you, I've given this to build you up. You say, no, I don't want that, thanks. I don't want tongues. I've heard funny stories about tongues. The Bible says, Paul says, I want you all to speak in tongues. It builds you up. So I'm saying, please don't rubbish that gift. It's maybe the least of all the gifts. And not everyone may have it. But if you have it, use it. And thank God for it. And make a start prophetically. As you speak God's word and life to others. I find sometimes I'm talking to someone. And while I'm talking to them, it's like I feel I'm going into prophetic mode now. God's giving me something that's more than just a conversation. And you don't have to say to people, thus saith the Lord. Yea, yea, I say yea to thee and they. Thus saith the Lord to yea and they. Don't do that. Don't change your voice. Don't say, hi Greg, how's it going? Thus saith the Lord. Don't do that. Don't get all weird. That's why people don't come to church. They think those Christians are weird. That's why churches are abandoning charismatic stuff because there's been so much weirdness. No, the answer to misuse of the gift is not no use, it's proper use. So make a start prophetically. Sometimes just a little thing can bless a person. Raymond has been excellent. I wanted to honor him. So people come into this church, he comes over, and Raymond's amazing. He's got woo factor. He'll never offend you. He's like a big teddy bear, but he comes across to people, and he just slips things into their lives. So I just feel God would say to you, by this time next year, you'll have a baby. Or this or that. Sometimes it's quite scary stuff. But man alive, boom, it happens. God spoke to me. God knows me. So make a start prophetically and receive prophetic words into your own life. If you have them at home, go and breathe on them again and trust God. May God be glorified here in this church as we fan into flame the many varied and diverse gifts that God has given us. Hallelujah. Don't neglect the gifts that God has given you, the natural gifts and the spiritual gifts. And often we neglect the gifts because we think, this is not a gift, it's just so easy for me. It's just so easy for me. but it's a gift that God has given that person. And that's why it's easy for you, because it's a gift. It's grace. It's given you a gift. Let's use the gifts of God to build others up, to do warfare, and extend the kingdom of God in our city and beyond. That's what Paul says to Timothy. He's not just saying be filled with the presence of God. He's saying eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That's why we try and make room in our meetings for the spiritual gifts. And use the gifts, not just here, but in the marketplace. Use the gifts as you go around. Use them in your family. Use them as you pray. Use the gift of tongues to build yourself up. I don't do it enough. I need to do it more. Use it as a gift to edify yourself. And when I do it, I'm blessed. I feel encouraged. You feel you're connecting with God. Sometimes it's not even words. It's just groanings. You just say, oh, God. Oh, Lord. And God hears what the Holy Spirit in you is saying back to the Father. In accordance with God's will. You're praying according to God's will. And things start to happen in your life. Don't neglect tongues. Don't neglect prophecy. Don't neglect the spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire them. And begin to move in them and operate in them. Amen. God will bless you. God will encourage you. And people around you will experience the blessing that comes from the gifts that God has put into your life. To each one, a manifestation of the Spirit has been given for others. Go and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.